Good morning, everybody. Stu Smith and Pat Bonus here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we are going to discuss quitting and basically not quitting, right? And how you can get through those moments of poor performance or woe is me, or, you know, you're thinking about quitting. How can you rearrange that and come back a little bit stronger? Right. So this is a tough one. Right. So it's going to be a mix of a little bit of some favorite sayings, some Bible verses mixed with some physiology and psychology, because you got to hit this one from all angles, because it's really a difficult one to verbalize. I think, you know, when we talk about, you know, why people quit, you know, why are people in slumps? You know, why is there a, you know, a not meeting a standard when they normally would meet the standard? You know, what is going on physically, emotionally, could be academically, right? You know, all these different issues that people have in those moments. And we're not necessarily just talking about special ops stuff. We're talking about athletics. We're talking about academics. Talk about just checking in, checking out emotionally, right? So let's kind of dive into this one. Patrick, you know, since you are my buddy, we're going to talk about the buddy system, right? And why, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? And there's my Bible verse right there. So let's go from there. Let's talk about the, you know, why the buddy system, I think, is probably a good number one way to start when we discuss this never quitting mode.
Yeah. Well, you know, whenever you're going for, you know, whether it's academics, athletics, jobs, where you want to go in the future, where you're setting a pretty advanced endeavor in front of yourself and you want to do that, I think that when you're preparing and you're getting ready, that you have to be multidimensional and you have to find individuals that encourage you and support you. And, you know, I think that, you know, we've spoken about how, when we go to the, you know, when I go to the gym or I go down to the pool, especially if I'm meeting someone, I want to be there on time. I want to communicate with them. I plan a better workout than I would plan for myself. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm preparing them the best that I can. They are returning it by being there. We're pushing each other. You know, I spoke to you about my friend who pushes me in the pool.
Right. You know, he doesn't even have to be there.
No. No, right. we're texting each other times, you know, all that sort of stuff, you know, and we're really pushing each other. But in that, is there a level of, you know, when you are getting ready and you are preparing, is there an individual who is your support that can check your work, that can drive you through a workout, that can make sure you're up for the workout and that you're continued and that there's some sort of connection that you're making. Like if you're getting food after, you look forward to that. If you have great conversation, you know, any of those things, that if you have this good balance and that you're both supporting each other, you know, in the goal or the endeavor that you've set out. Because if you're getting into training and you're going along alone too much, you're not really understanding the support that you're giving to them and that they're giving to you in return. And I think that many people think back to, say, kindergarten, first grade, when you're going on your field trip to the library, the buddy system, buddy up. But they forget that continues through life.
Yeah.
But, you know, those friends that you have, you know, that send you encouraging words, that, you know, send you text messages. Just like, hey, how's your day? We need to catch up and get coffee soon. That are these people that you really look to, and that your friendship makes you a stronger individual. And so going back to that iron sharpens iron, you know, I have that in my classroom because we all have the opportunity at different times to make each other better.
Yeah.
You know, we all have different strengths and we can use our strengths, but we have to be humble to know that when we are not achieving where we can use our friends that may have a strength in a different area to improve us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I was preparing for, you know, my future as a, you know, trying to get through buds, I actually had three buddies. I had a buddy who could swim better than me. I had a buddy that could run better than me. And I had a buddy that could lift better than me, right? And or do calisthenics. You know, we'd kind of mix both in depending on the season. And so I would work out with those guys, right? And then, you know, I would set my schedule up around there. So I would run with my friend. I would go swim with my other friend. I'd go lift and PT with my other friend. And then we'd all go out in the evening, right? Because we were still 21, 22 years old, right? And we talked about the workouts and, you know, they were really supportive, you know, of, you know, what I was doing, even though they were, had no goal of going into the military whatsoever. They were just better at those things than me. And I knew I had to get good at all of them, right? Yeah. I didn't necessarily beat any of them in anything. So that was a lot of fun, right? And I look back to, you know, some of those successes, and especially in getting better at those events, you know, to those moments of when I was, you know, I was crushing it, right? I was doing three workouts a day with different events, you know, focusing on technique and all those things, and they made me sharper. Right. And so a buddy system works really well. If you don't have that, it doesn't mean you're going to fail. Right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being the guy who works out by himself. I did that many, many times. And like I said, you and your buddy, you know, you go work out on your own and you text your buddy, hey, this is my 500 yard time. What's yours? Right. Yep. You know, I hit a 620 this week and, you know, how are you doing? Right. Oh, damn it. 6:23. Then you go back to the pool again and try to hit it, you know, whatever those times are. And, you know, I think that's a great way to do it. You know, if you don't have a buddy, you always have a watch, right? And that watch can be a very good, what's a good word? Simulated buddy, right? Yeah. Because it's going to push you, right? And it doesn't lie.
One, I was just about to say, it doesn't lie. That's exactly, you know, and the thing is too, is that I would say that with my friend, that's the real tangible thing that we compare to, as well as my friend Tim, who was a rower. Time is everything, your erg times, your split times, everything. So, you know, when I can look at the clock and see what it is, that's also that tangible thing that I can send to him, that measurable, you know, how are we in a positive, that measuring stick, what is the measuring stick and what are we going for? And just like, you know, not really even thinking about the standards, but where are you with each other? Where are you within that healthy compete level to compare each other? You know, and I think that, like, I have a buddy, when I have to write something, I put commas everywhere. I don't know what it is. And so I have a buddy who was a writer. He has published books and things like that. And I send stuff to him and he edits it all. And he is very critical in a positive way. Like, no, you can't have this. You're putting in pronouns and tenses and stuff. You're all over the map.
Yes. So
he is my buddy for that aspect of my life that I need someone really, really, really sharp to make me just clean stuff up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm never
get somebody great to make you good.
Yeah.
You know, it really is true. I mean, if you think about what, you know, you are trying to do, no matter what your goals are, you're trying to get good, you're trying to get great. And depending on what you're doing now in a tactical world, you know, we don't necessarily have to be great at any one element of fitness, just got to be really good at all of them. So you're kind of a jack of all trades. So that usually brings in some weaknesses in certain areas, might bring some strengths, and you're great in a couple of areas. That's great. But, you know, you got to also focus on some of the weaknesses. And I think a buddy will allow that, especially if you find a buddy that's really good at what you suck at. You know, it can really sharpen you, whether it's just a technique issue or it's just pushing you to doing things that you don't like to do, that you're not good at doing, and just getting you over that hump. You know, once you get over that hump, you're going to find that your progressions, you know, throughout your preparation phase are going to get a lot better. And then you will be in that zone of where you need to be able to perform on game day. And I think that's where we're really talking about right here. You know, your preparation drives you to that moment of when you have to perform, right? Whether you're an athlete at game day, you know, fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, ninth inning, you know, last set, you know, whatever we're trying to think about that most stressful moment, right? And if it's in a tactical sense and we're talking about special ops, it's, you know, you're cold, wet, sandy, miserable, it's dark, and you're inside your own head, right? You can always look to the left and look to the right, and you're probably going to see a teammate or a buddy right there next to you that is going through the exact same thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that's the actually the shirt I'm wearing is that suffer better, that everyone's suffering. You just have to suffer a little bit better. You know, you have, you know, especially like, you know, in an endurance kind of event.
Oh yeah.
Whatever it is, you just, everyone's suffering. And that's a positive thing, that everybody's in the same boat as you are, you know, and you just have to, you know, push and drive through. And I think that, you know, when you're preparing, you know, with the, you know, with the buddy system, and when Drew, one of my trainees, wanted, when he was shipping out, I said, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to the range? Do you want to jump out of a plane? Like, what do you want to do as your send off? Like, what is the thing you want to do? And he's like, I want to get like crushed. I want to get smoked. I want to get my, you know, I want to get beat. So I was like, okay. So we went up to the lake, you know, at like 3:30 in the morning. We had a rubber boat. It was cold. It was dark. And, you know, all the, you know, scalp on our heads rubbed off, you know, from carrying the boat and all this sort of stuff. And the hope is too, is that like, one, I'm there on time for them. They had to be there because we needed four guys. So that buddy said,
yeah,
you can't carry a boat with three guys. It just doesn't work. It's unbalanced. I mean, and so the more the merrier, because, you know, it's lighter, but four guys was the minimum. And then what really happens too, is that as he goes forward in his training, that preparation, I hope, that discomfort, he remembers that, yeah, it was uncomfortable while we were carrying it, but it was comfortable while we were paddling and the stars were out. And it was really comfortable when we were done and we were getting coffee and we're all joking and we have that kind of entire body fatigue. And that will come as well. You know, when anything is done, is you have to, you know, as we've talked about in quitting, that moment that negative thought starts to come in, you have to start to reframe it, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, you know, as you've said about performance cues, and where are we going to mentally start to say things that remind us of when the discomfort ends?
Yeah.
Because the discomfort ends no matter what.
Yeah, like you said, you know, there's mantras, there's the performance cue, you got to remember your why, you know, there's all these little things in there. Positive self-talk. Right. You got to be positive at this moment. But, you know, one of the things I've always tried to do was, you know, think about winning something. Right. If you think about winning, you will never think about quitting. Right. And that's the biggest thing. If you can avoid thinking about quitting altogether, like it's not even an option that even comes into your brain, that's where you want to be. So you got to have this competitive mindset going into there. Now, will there be moments where your competitive mindset is tested? Yes, it will be. And that's where some of this, you know, positive self-talk and, you know, performance cues come in. And when we talk about performance cues is just a quick definition is, think about, you know, that greatest moment you've ever had, right? You know, whatever it is, it could be the birth of a child. It could be the you know, hitting a home run in the ninth inning, walk off. It could be that pick six that wins the game. You know, whatever that moment is, athletically, personally, and give it a name, right? And give that thing a name, and then address it so you can actually pull from the past. This is where the past is pretty useful, right? And we're going to frame this in a past, present, future mindset here, because you can pull from the past those things and say, you know what, I'm gonna pull this moment right now and try to give that a name and try to bring in those emotions and that feeling of like, all right, I can do this. I did it before. I can do it again. Whether it's a boat on your head during your preparation phase, or it's, you know, hitting home runs before, right? Or great hits in high stress moments, or whatever your issue is. you know, and be able to pull that into the present with that performance cue. And one of my, you know, classics is never quit. It's a great performance cue, right? If things start sucking, right, you just feel like you can't move your leg in front of the other again to be able to run or ruck or whatever that is, you know, never quit, right? Yeah. Just don't quit moving, right? Yeah. Don't walk, right? Just keep moving, right? And, you know, that's a good one. You know, I used to use one, you know, my high school mascot was Bulldogs, right? So I'd go Bulldog, right? Because I remembered, you know, some of those great moments I had when I was a you know, young high school athlete. And, you know, I just remember being euphoric with, you know, that feeling of winning, you know, the last seconds or whatever. And, you know, those are good moments, especially if you're just feeling kind of low and you're like, ah, it's 5:30. I don't feel like doing another workout. Bulldog, I'm ready to go, right? You know, yeah. You know, yeah. Like I can turn this around real quick, you know, and you, especially when you tie that, you know, that sensation to a word, you know, it can have some powerful meaning. And this is just basic, you know, sports psychology. I'm not trying to dig deep and sit you on a couch and talk about your mom. You know, this is just stuff that, you know, is, if you look up performance cue, you will see a ton of different ways to utilize them to get you from maybe a current state of not doing so well mentally to getting you in the state of readiness and you're ready to go and not thinking about quitting too.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, and those performance cues are what are they really doing? They're also distracting you from the negative thought.
Absolutely.
They all of a sudden you focus on what Bulldog. I smile every time you say Bulldog too. Because when my kids are like complaining about food, I say, just Bulldog it. Meaning Bulldogs eat everything. They're garbage disposal. So every time you say Bulldog, you know, when we talk, I laugh because I tell my kids, you know, they'll probably watch this because, you know, it's like, just Bulldog it. And that is that get out of like, this is gross or there's parsley on it and just Bulldog it. And so, you know, when I was training, about 2 years ago, I was doing a swim, run, whatever it was. I get out on my first run and I'm like a quarter mile into my run and my quad starts cramping up. Hmm. So I don't quit. I don't stop. I say to myself, this should not be happening. Now, that wasn't like that I'm elite, that I wasn't running very fast, but I had plenty of good nutrition, plenty of sleep, plenty of hydration. I had prepared prior. I had been sleeping. I had been running. I had done all that. It wasn't just all of a sudden I decided to work out. I just one day woke up and decided to work out. So
right,
exactly. In my mind, I was saying this shouldn't be happening.
It was early in the run. Say this is weird. Well,
this shouldn't be happening. I adjusted my jammer and I carried on. There's nothing special about that. And I'm sure there's some sort of psychosomatic response where my mind is telling my body to do something. My body responds. But the positive talk is that, no, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to carry on. I'm going to push through. And that past preparation that I've had, whether it's nutritionally, whether it's through friends, you know, training together, and that buildup of training, I change my thought. I change feeding into that response, saying, oh, I'm cramping. I don't want to pull a quad. I don't want to do damage. Because that can creep in a real, you know, negative way and get you to quit. And what, you know, I've heard a lot, I've heard this so much that when guys are running, you know, and you see it in the military, when they're running, when they're doing, you know, surf torture, when they're down at the mud flats, I hear all these stories about guys singing. And the instructors say, sing all you want. It's not going to make the pain go away, you know? And so they get kind of, you know, I have heard tons of stories about this, but what is the singing doing? It is distracting the mind from that negative thought process.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can lead a song, teach your team, teach your class, you know, certain songs, those moments are pretty uniting. You know, you start uniting together as a team, as a class, and you feel like, you know, I don't want to quit. I don't want to let these guys down. Right. I don't want to take a boat from 6 to 5. Right. You know, I'm going to suck it up because if I leave, I'm going to be screwing 5 people, you know, that's a really good point. right? You can really distract yourself.
Yeah, and when you distract yourself, you have to at times too. And I'm sure it's pretty hard. I mean, I've had a couple situations in my life which don't compare at all. But when people quit, and they're like really good people, like they're really good, really qualified, really smart, really athletic, whatever. And all of a sudden they quit, and you're like, oh, what do I do? Like, if they quit, who am I?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure that, you know, and you could probably speak more of that when you're going through stuff in Buds and really good people quit. What does that do? And how do you then distract and realize that, you know, when you look at those really good people that quit, how are you looking in a positive sense that, well, they might be really good at this one thing, but I'm pretty good at a lot of different things. I'm polished gray. You know, I'm not so good at one thing that if that fails that I crumble. How do you then reframe it for yourself to say?
You know, that's a really good one, because at Buds specifically, you know, I remember a year before I went to Buds, we had a class in front of us that went to Buds. And I remember working out with those guys the year before. You know, some of them were, you know, guys that kind of put us through prep training, right? So you kind of look up to them in a way of like, yeah, they're pseudo instructors, right? You know, they were helping us, you know, to get better. And then, you know, four of those guys quit. And we were like, oh my God, what the hell are we getting into? Those were the toughest guys I knew, you know, and, you know, how do we get tougher? You know, yeah. That was our answer, you know, how what happened, right? And then we realized too, you know, all of this, you know, sometimes quitting isn't about performance at all, right? It's not about your certain physical abilities. It's an emotional issue. Could be a family issue. It could be, you know, discomfort and pain is a big reason. You know, that is personal. I mean, your discomfort and pain is internal. It is personal, right? And you can zone in on that way too much, right? And that's where some of these techniques, you know, of bringing those cues in to distract yourself with singing, to, you know, do other things like that, kind of takes you away from being so internally aware of your pain. I mean, it's there, you know, it's there, but you got to think about something else. You got to think about, you know, we talk about bringing those performance cues from the past to the present, but there's also, you know, you got to take the present into the future as well. Yeah. And then that's where this timeline of past, present, future comes in, because there is a phase where, you know, dealing with the past is great. But sometimes you're going to have to, it's going to be so really borderline unbearable that you have to look into the future and say, you know what, this isn't going to last forever. This pain that I'm having right now, this cold that I'm involved with right now, the sand that's up my butt right now, is not going to be there forever, right? I get to go take a shower, you know, in the next hour or so. I don't know when that's going to be, but I'm going to take a nice warm shower. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to get under all my covers, and I'm going to be perfectly comfortable and warm. And you got to take yourself to that moment, because if you don't, you can really dig yourself into a pretty big hole, you know, when you are so, you know, emotionally and internally involved with the pain of the moment, right? So let's think about past, present, future in that sense. Yes, we can pull from the past some of our great moments and bring it into the present to energize us and remember our whys and go through some positive self-talk. And then, you know, sometimes you got to take that present and just move it a notch ahead, because, you know, eventually you have to see the light at the end of the tunnel. If you do not see the light at the end of the tunnel, it becomes real dark, and it's real easy to say, you know, maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah. Well, and that experience that you've talked about so much, and I've heard a lot of other people talk about with, you know, guys coming right out of high school have a lower success rate, and have they ever walked through the tunnel to see the light? You know, have they had experience, and is them quitting at Buds gonna be their first experience of not necessarily seeing the light? And when you're in that moment, you look forward to, you know, knowing that all discomfort ends. There is an end to discomfort. We know that, you know, through experience. I mean, through, you know, training, we realize that our, you know, our kind of physical, mental, emotional thresholds increase, right? They continue to extend and go further, and they go further. And that comes from conditioning. And when we condition, we look at that, and we also have to, I think, and not to go back intentionally to the buddy system, but if you are beat and you're, you know, in that moment and you're doing it, and it, you get to the end, but you're still kind of not putting it to positively to the warm covers, to the food, to the meal, do you have the ability to voice, right, to say to your buddy, to be emotionally available, and then they come back. So say you, I'm hurting, man. Like, I don't know what to do. And that buddy says, so am I. And it's not misery loves company, but it's that, so am I. But guess what? We can do this. We can push through this. And then the buddy can start to change your mental perspective. Yeah. You know, and when you look at what they're trying to extract, is they're trying to extract that you really pushing yourself, not just for you, but by pushing yourself and pushing through those negative thoughts into the future, you're bringing other people with you. You're bringing them along.
You know, I think it's a good point to go back to the buddy system, because there's two types of buddies, right? You're either the drain or you're the faucet.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're both, you know, it just depends on the day. Sometimes you have to rely on your buddy to be the faucet, because you got nothing right at that moment, and he's going to fill you up, right? However, if your buddy's the drain and you let him suck you down into the garbage disposal, well, that's where you're going to be. So unfortunately, there can be a mass exodus of quitting when buddies start to quit together, right? They can suck you right down in there. But, you know, there's that fine line of, you know, I can't believe my buddy just quit. You know, I didn't go down that drain, right? You know, along with him. You know, I was able to be the faucet of that moment, right? So, you know, faucets and drains, I mean, this has nothing to do with, you know, spec ops training. This is life, right? Think about the people in your world right now, and you can pretty much, you can put them in those two categories.
Yeah.
It's either a drain or the other one's a faucet. And they're either filling you up with, you know, good and, you know, pushing you, or they're draining you and just sucking you down. You know, they take all of you that you have, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned it, but, you know, so say a guy quits because he has a fiance. And he wants to go back to his fiance, fine. You know, I understand that, you know, that draw and getting on, you know, with your life. And, you know, when you go back to that intrinsic purpose, your why, that internal purpose, it's going to drive you, and it's going to realize that their drain may not necessarily be intentional, like you mentioned, that things come up. So when people are kind of in a drain in their own life and you're the faucet, what can happen is they can go down the drain, right? They can kind of, right? You have to continue that one intrinsic purpose and realize that you will hopefully be the faucet for others and find someone else who's at a point in their life where they're the faucet for you.
Yeah.
I really loved when you said the faucet and drain. I'd never really heard that in terms of, you know, how friends or how people or how buddies are. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, I have a kid who's not showing up. I haven't heard from him. He's gone radio silent. I got a real question. I had a real question on his intrinsic purpose. I didn't know if he really wanted to do it. But like we said, I still go to the pool. I still do my push-ups. I still do my core. I still do that. If he comes in, he's going to see me there. He can join right in and we can go on. And I think that when you look at certain people, that they may be in the drain, you can try to be the faucet for them, but there are going to be points in their life, like, you know, a death in the family or anything like that. You know, you have to be, you know, that faucet, but also them being the drain may be you know, maybe like a real situation, and that you can, that their drain can potentially, they can pull out of that drain.
Oh, absolutely.
A week or two time, you know, the 2 week time period. So, you know, that I really love that analogy and how that, you know, you also can't, like you said, you can't get sucked into their drain.
Yeah.
You know, if it gets to a point of no return and they don't have that intrinsic purpose, that why it's not driving them through, you reevaluate that person, like, and no offense, wasn't the reason why you joined. That's not the reason why you went in. You know, they could become that because you're going to be teammates once you get through.
Absolutely.
But your intrinsic purpose is what's fueling you through.
Yeah. And then, like I said, this has nothing to do with Spec Ops. It could be a teammate that's helping you get through a batting slump, or a teammate that's helping you with throwing because you're constantly overthrowing first base, or, you know, or you're missing balls that you're supposed to catch, you know, with a football or whatever. So, you know, those buddy systems are really important. In fact, what I want you to do is ask yourself this. If you have a buddy, right, what buddy are you? And you can find out real easy, right? If your buddy calls you and he says, hey, man, I'm sorry I can't make it today to today's workout, what do you do? Right? This is a really good way to see where you are. Do you go ahead and skip the workout too because, my buddy's not here, I'm not going to work out? Or do you go work out anyway? Right? So a lot of my guys that train people, you know, around the United States, like Patrick does for free, is I say, look, here's the way we do it, is you schedule a workout on your time, right? You invite people to come to those workouts, right? And if, you know, that way, if no one shows up, you haven't wasted any time because you're going to work out anyway. That is a mindset that people have, you know, going into this kind of world, that you have to have. You have to be in that mindset of, you know, it doesn't affect me any, you know, if he doesn't show up, I'm still working out, right? And I'm probably going to text him and say, here's what you missed.
Yeah, and I do. I think that's a little psychological warfare for me to try and maybe get them to go to the pool later or whatever.
Yep.
You know, but it's, and like I've said, you know, I'm in no official capacity. And I always say it, they're my workout buddies.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I'm not trying to be anything other than someone who works out and trains and come along. I mean, that's it, you know, or they have ideas sometimes too. So I've occasionally let them run the workout. I mean, Zach.
And they push you. Yeah. I run faster because I have 20 year olds, you know, that are faster than me. Right. Yeah. I mean, they're faster than me anyway. I'm trying to just be close to them. Right. So I'm going to run a lot faster and further just because, you know, I got a group of guys that are doing it. Right. It just makes you stronger. So, yeah, find a buddy system. And if you don't have it, find a watch. Right. Because that will help you as well run faster.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think also, like, and not to turn it to a negative, but that in the present, you know, in the present, looking forward to the feeling of success that you've had. And, you know, you and I have both discussed about times where we did quit, but is it really quitting or is it moving on? You know, is it at times quitting or is it moving on from a situation where you're no longer fulfilling your intrinsic purpose, right? So I think in the present, you know, as you are starting to prepare for something, that if you keep very sharp in your mind that what are your goals that you want to achieve, what is the timeline, and that you as you move through it, that it's ever present as to what is the end goal.
Yeah.
And at any point that in your preparation, if you're working out with you, that 6-8 a year into the preparation, if you start to realize, you know what, you know, I found this girl, I really want to settle down and have a career and marry her and live in this area. It's better, in my opinion, you're not quitting in preparation. You're kind of moving on. Do you see what I mean? So it's like,
I mean, you have to find your way in this life, you know, and, you know, sometimes whatever, military, law enforcement, firefighter is not that way, right? There's nothing wrong with that. You know, plenty of successful people that go on and do other things in life and are happy. And, you know, you just got to find out what's your why in this life. And so that's why I tell people all the time, it's not my job to motivate you to serve. Right. So, you know, these are workouts that we do, and, you know, your fitness will one day be the, you know, determining factor of a successful mission. You saving someone, you saving yourself, you saving your buddy, you know, those things matter. Right. So that's why I put that kind of emphasis on training, you know, especially for the tactical world. But like I said, it's not for everybody, and that's okay. There's other ways to serve. There's other ways to give, right. And be a good person. No, I would like to add this though. You know, when you talk about, you know, past, present, future, is there's one more element, and that we've discussed it a little bit, you know, in a previous podcast about the thing, name it and tame it, mm-hmm. right? Where you can take that present moment of, and this is really important, because this is when you get those obtrusive thoughts of, should I quit? You know, anytime that you even have that thought in your brain, you got to name it and tame it really quick. Right. You can't let that thing grow, because it will grow and it will bring you down. Whether that is you're exposed to the elements that is making you think that way, you're exposed to a lot of negative feedback. You know, that's why I like your editor friend. You know, when you send something to an editor, you know, you're going to get a lot of negative feedback real quick, because you screwed up 10 sentences in this, you know, page of writing. You know, you got to be acceptable, you know, to those, you know, negative feedback, and you're going to get a ton of negative feedback when you're going through, you know, these type of training programs. When you're on a team, you'll get a ton of negative feedback from your coach if you screwed up a play, right? Or you didn't do something right. You overthrew somebody, or you went the wrong way. You know, those things happen. You're going to get negative feedback, and you got to come back faster and stronger and more resilient every time. And that's what that's for. So, but the name and tame it will allow you to kind of do that internally. So you know, for instance, my kids, you know, they have a bad dream, right? I usually give them the old name and tame it trick, right? So I said, so what was the dream about? Oh, it was this monster. It was under my bed. And I said, what'd he look like? He was big, hairy guy. Right. And I said, all right, so let's give it a name. Let's give it a funny name too. So let's give it, Bigfoot or Sasquatch. Right. And, you know, just said, you know, so it was Sasquatch. He's silly, you know, and then, you know, let's think of him like a cartoon. Right. And so you just start kind of playing with the guy, and then it eventually becomes harmless in your head, and your brain finds a place for it.
Yeah.
Right. Finds a place to store that, because it's sending out this alert system to your brain that, you know, I have to survive. There is something here whether it's in real or imagined, there's something here that is trying to prevent me from surviving. Right. And that's kind of like what these obtrusive thoughts tend to be. They're not flashbacks, you know, they're just moments of your brain trying to reorganize exactly what these life-threatening situations are, right? So you give it a name, Bigfoot, right? Stick it in there, and you'll start to see that you have less, you know, it pops in your head a lot less. You're able to settle down, go to sleep, think about something else, you know, unless it, you know, so it doesn't pop back in your head. So anyway, that's a really good way to take that moment of like, man, this is really sucking. Is this for me? Right. That's a moment when you have to say, hell yeah, it's for me. You know, stick it in there. Right. Anytime you're feeling that way, say, hell yeah, it's for me. Stick it in there. Right. Yep. And then just get through the day.
Yeah. And I was going to say that, if you're laying in the sand and in the surf and, you know, or you're at, Harvard or, you're at Framingham State or you're whatever, or you're at Fitchburg State in an educational program, you know, and some of these really amazing programs that are out there in the country that run the gamut or internationally. Once you're there and putting it kind of, like you said, in that little filing cabinet in your brain of, you're there for a reason. Yeah. You didn't just like pop there. You went through a process and you're pretty special. Yeah. You know, you got to the sands of Coronado because you are pretty special. You've run through tons of tests and you have to frame it as exactly like you said, I should be here.
Yep.
I'm here for a reason. Like I, you know, and also that when you said about Bigfoot and it's silly, I have people, whenever I go negative, whenever I, and they do this to me and I laugh, they don't, and another guy did it to another guy. He's like barking at him and he's like calling him out on his run times and all this sort of stuff. And he has a thing like, whatever you say, old man. And that makes it silly to him because he's thinking you couldn't run half as fast as me.
Right. I love it.
So he, his little thing is, okay, old man, like whatever you say, old man, that's his little, like whenever he is negative to him. I mean, and this guy made him carry a rock in his backpack on every evolution. I mean, he singled him out, you know, he like, and his little reframe, and we laugh about it all the time. This guy, he's like, whatever you say, old man. And he just keeps going and he just keeps going. And so it's exactly that. Whatever you need to do to get into those situations is, you know, and I don't take my editor friend personally when he's critical. That's his area of expertise. I'm giving it to you to give me your best. Yep. Now, if you want to learn how to deadlift, I'm not going to make fun of you when you're cat back in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, when you go in there and you don't know what you're doing, I'm not going to sit there and make fun of you. Yeah. I'm going to be critical. I'm going to be honest. I mean, one has to do with safety there.
Sure.
But, you know, there are times where straightforwardness is the absolute purest route to a solution.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes you got to tell somebody, stop what you're doing. Don't do that.
Yep.
You hurt yourself, you know, yeah. Especially if you're a good coach, you know, and sometimes kids need to hear that. And, you know, that's a form of negative feedback that will make you stronger. It exactly. will make you perform better. Right. It's just one of those things. It's a technique issue that's how you have to take these things. You know, when you get this negative feedback, sometimes they're just trying to get into your head to see how you handle negative feedback. Sometimes it's very valuable information that's going to make you better the next time. So you have to differentiate the two. Right.
Yeah.
And remember, ones sometimes, you know, they're going to realize when they can't hurt you. They're going to realize, you know, post hell week, you know, that, you know, you're not going to quit just because you're doing push-ups and you're wet and sandy, right? That's just,
yeah.
It's not, what are they going to make you do? Get wet and sandy. You know, what are they going to make you do? You know, run with a log on my shoulder. You know, you're not going to quit. So, yeah. And there's other ways to get in your head. There's other ways of like, so you got a girlfriend? Yeah, I used to have a girlfriend. You know,
yeah. You know,
they'll start messing with you like that and see how really invested you are in this, you know, are you not just physically invested, but are you emotionally invested into what you are about to get into, the community that, you know, requires a great deal of commitment, you know, and sacrifice away from home. And, you know, do you have a life and support system that can handle that? You know, that's all they're asking, right? They're just going to play with it in your head. And I tell you what, a lot of guys that are married, you know, we talk about 18-year-olds that don't make it. You know, a lot of married guys don't make it. You know, because it's, you know, they start to see that, you know, their life and their future career, you know, may be 9 months a year away from home, you know, whether you're deployed or training to deploy or whatever, you know. So now that's not every year, right? And there are shore duties when you come home every day at 5 o'clock, right? So
yep.
It's, but there will be segments of your career where you are gone significantly. And sometimes that is what causes people to quit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think going back to the negative reinforcement and the reframing or the naming and taming, I've mentioned in previous talks with you and maybe even in a podcast, and I think that anybody in any walk of life, if they can look at, you know, I tell my teams and what I talk about when I coach is that I don't believe in negative reinforcement. I don't believe in positive reinforcement. I believe in truthful reinforcement.
Yeah.
If you do well, I'm going to tell you, you did well. If you don't do well and your technique's off or it's dangerous, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
So I don't play this game with negative or positive. And there comes in the fact is most of what you're going to take as feedback resides within you. How do you filter
it? Oh yeah, absolutely. It is perception. Absolutely.
Yeah.
How are you perceiving it?
Yep. You know, and, you know, and going back to kind of, you know, what you said is that, the quitting that occurs at any, it runs the gamut of, you know, do you want to move on? Do you want to move forward? Has the fire for your intrinsic purpose changed, right? Has it ignited into a different area? And that's totally fine. This is that in anything that I say, you know, I've quit on things. I haven't followed through on things. And I can look back now at 41 years old with a lot of experience. I think I wish it expedited a little quicker, but that's a body of work that I can draw from.
Oh, sure. Any time. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll do the same thing. Yep.
You know, exactly like you did. And, I would say that one of the biggest things is too, is that, whenever we're talking about the performance cues, the, past, present, future, it's exactly like you said in the beginning of the podcast. You're not just trying to increase your pushups. You're trying to increase the entire person, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, and, you know, and not, you know, undermining the fact that you're really not going to get there alone. You're not going to get there on your own. And that those people that are going to encourage you are massively, massively valuable. But those individuals too, that help for you to question yourself and knock you down a peg or two, are also very healthy.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, and how are you framing that within your own mind?
Yeah, I tell you what, it becomes very powerful how you frame it, because, you know, you're going to have people that say, oh, you'll never make it, right? You will have assholes that say you will never make something, even though you tell them, this is my goal, this is what I want to do. Oh, you'll never do that. You know, it sucks. You know, it sucks to have that kind of person in your life. And I would recommend, you know, depending on who that person is one, you either have to reframe it or get away completely and just, like, I'm not going to tell that person anything I want to do ever again, because I know what I'm going to get. Right. But you also have now a very powerful tool of proving that person wrong. Mm-hmm. I've had that come back to me, one significant time in my life where, you know, I was actually brought to the question of like, do you want to leave? Do you want to quit? And I'm like, I can't quit. Right? I can't. It's like the Officer and a Gentleman. I got nowhere else to go. Remember that? I got nowhere else to go. No, it wasn't an option. You know, wasn't an option. And I think, you know, that is kind of a cliche, but it really wasn't, because I was going to prove that person wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I've talked to some pretty accomplished guys who've been through SEALs and, you know, reach the highest ranks of enlisted, and I've met officers and talked with officers, and a lot of thanks to you on that. You know, you linked me up with a buddy of yours who's just been massively supportive, not just for me, but for my son. But that is it too, is that you have to work to become that individual where that this one guy said that every day he woke up, he was excited to see what we were going to do. That's what he said drove him. Every day I woke up, every day was different. There were new things. I got to learn something new. And that drove him all the way to Master Chief, you know? Like, yeah. That every day he was doing a different, and it probably got to the point where it was a different mission, a different country, a different group of people, whatever it may be. That's what drove him.
Yeah.
And, the other thing is too, is that, you know, your friend talked about something that I said to a kid. A kid was wearing a prove people wrong bracelet, you know, those rubber bands.
Classic. Love it.
Well, I told him to take it off because he got his commitment to the University of New Hampshire for hockey. And I said, what I want you to start to think of now is all the people that you proved right. Your mom and dad believed in you all growing up. That's why you're getting to the university. They paid for every little hockey weekend and stick and skate. And so now look at, you know, like you said, eliminate those people who are kind of saying you're never going to make it.
Yeah.
And in you know, you don't always want to surround yourself with all the lollipops and rainbows, but
of course,
the people when you're in a tough situation, you know, like your friend whose mom looked at him and said, "Nope, that's not an option." Yep. We're going in this direction, and you're gonna be the best you that you can be. And now, and look at him now, massively happy. One, what yeah. eliminate success? He's happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the root to that when you're talking about it is, you know, again, there are people that you have to prove wrong, and you have to really appreciate and gravitate towards the buddies, towards the parents, you know, towards the aunts, the uncles, the sisters, the brothers, the best friends yep. who you're proving right.
Oh, I love that. You know, that's a really good point. It goes back to our faucets and drains.
Yeah.
You know, analogy, because, you know, you're proving the faucets wrong, you know, or I'm sorry, the drain's wrong and the faucet's right. So,
yeah,
no, I like that. That's really good. In fact, I think that's a great way to end this one. So, you got the buddy system, you got performance cues, you got name it and tame it. You know, we're really talking about pulling some, you know, focus on your preparation, right? And use that, that level of resilience you've created from your preparation and bring it from the past into the present when you need it. But then again, sometimes that has nothing to do with your preparation, and you got to take that why and that present feeling and move it to the future and think about, you know, that little happy place you're going to be in a few minutes or a few hours or whenever, right? Yeah. Eventually it's going to be, you're going to be comfortable again when you are uncomfortable here. And that's the way you take this mode of past, present, and future, and, you know, use all those tools to never quit.
Absolutely.
So, cool, man. Well, thank you very much, Patrick. That was a fun one. That was a lot more than I thought we would get out, because we really hit a lot of cool things in there between buddy system and physiology and emotional well-being and academics and athletics, you know, so it's life, you know, so this is as really as much to do with life as it does to do with, you know, spec ops selection programs. So thank you.
Well, thank you for your time. It's always a pleasure talking and just I learned every time I talk to you, I learned something new. I wrote down faucet and drains. I'm going to use that. Oh, I'm going to use that to death.
It was great for teammates. You know, what kind of teammate are you? You know, yeah,
exactly.
Really good kind of like internal awareness tool. So yes, I love it. So thank you very much once again, guys. Thanks for listening. And if you got any questions, just, you know, feel free to email me, send some questions in the, you know, in the video response, you know, on YouTube, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram and at my website, stewsmithfitness.com. We'll see you later.